For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, folks. We are going to do this a little bit differently because we have the Thanksgiving games. So we're going to do these picks for the Thanksgiving games and going to get through some news items as well. So yeah, today's episode is just going to concentrate strictly on the Thanksgiving games ahead of the holiday. And, you know, we'll circle back later on once we get more information for the Sunday games. But, you know, news items of note. After that putrid performance yet again by the Giants, Jason Garrett has been relieved of his duties. Not surprisingly, considering that the Giants, and, you know, I keep making this joke with folks, and like people like thought I was joking about how bad the Giants offense operated. But the issue remains the fact that, just to speak to the depths of ineptitude of the Giants, since 2020, when you've had Garrett as the offense coordinator, the Giants offensively rank 32nd in touchdowns scored since 2020. There are only 32 teams in the NFL, so by virtue of math, that would say you are the worst offensive coordinator in the entire league. The Giants scored 42 offensive touchdowns. There are 16 games per year in the NFL. Now it's 17. But just think about this. The Giants, who literally played over half the season already this year, they are 3-7 now. They played 26 games and scored 42 touchdowns on offense. I don't understand how it's even remotely possible you weren't fired sooner. Like, to me, this is what I don't understand, why people are even saying it's surprising that the Giants fired Jason Garrett. The only surprise that the Giants would fire a guy before Thanksgiving. The surprise is that they allowed him to stay and just run the team into the ground. You could have fired Jason Garrett before the Raiders game. You let him hang around. You win the Raiders game. But the team still didn't look good in that Raiders game. The only reason why I gave the Giants offense a shot against Tampa is because the secondary is so bad. The Giants have enough skill position players. You would think you would try to push the ball down the field. The Giants' longest pass attempt was by their wide receiver. And it was the only pass attempt that was over 30 yards in air yards, from their wide receiver, Kadarius Toney, not their actual quarterback, Daniel Jones. So you tell me what is surprising about Jason Garrett getting fired, other than it took this long. The Giants I'll read off the teams that are ahead of the Giants in terms of offensive touchdowns. The Jets, 46th in the league. Sam Darnold got fired and traded to Carolina. Zach Wilson looks like a disaster, and it's only because Mike Smith, like, had a game that, like, the Jets aren't right there with the Giants in terms of being dead freaking last in terms of offensive touchdowns. Jaguars, 52 offensive touchdowns. The less said about Urban Meyer, the better in his rookie year. 29th, the Bears and Matt Nagy, who, if we believe reports, is going to get fired after this Thanksgiving game. Now that's effed up. You make the man work on Thanksgiving instead of just being with his family if you just fired him before Thanksgiving, because he's going to get paid regardless. So why are you forcing him to work through Thanksgiving? Like I said, if he gets fired after the Thanksgiving game, that might be the most effed up situation imaginable. But well-deserved firing, considering he's supposed to be an offensive guru. 54 touchdowns for the Bears. 28th, the Broncos, 55 offensive touchdowns. Woo! Man, Vic Fangio. the less said, the better. 27th, Washington. Ron Rivera's had a lot of issues with that team. You know, injuries, like no healthy quarterbacks. You know, it is what it is. 26th, the Panthers at 57 touchdowns. it's like you read off some of these other teams. Then you got the Falcons, the Texans, the Dolphins, the Patriots, post Tom Brady, the Lions. And that's like your bottom 11 scoring teams. The most is the Lions Lions and Pats tied at 61. But the bottom 11, 61 touchdowns from the Lions and Patriots. Yeah, not great, but it's still, I mean, when you're the Giants at 42 offensive touchdowns, you are that far behind the bottom third. Like, it tells you how bad you are comparatively to you who are supposed to be your peers struggling. Like, there's a reason why the Giants have had a decade of futility. They ruined the last couple of years of Eli Manning's career, and everyone wanted to blame it on Eli. No, it's not Eli's fault. We talked about the offensive line. Like, we talked about the organizational issues this team has where they don't actually understand what they're doing. Like, none of this has changed. None of it. And so, yes, Jason Garrett's part of the problem, but it's a systemic issue wherein Dave Gettleman has not addressed the offensive line. So, long and short of it is, you know, if Joe Judge wants to play this out and have any chance at a future career coaching the Giants long term, he actually needs to figure out a way of setting up Daniel Jones to fail so he can draft, so he can actually, because the play would be draft a new QB, but that's the short-term play. That's what got Nagy fired. Drafting a QB only accelerates the timetable on you. If you can't get him to produce early, they're just going to find someone else who will. So it's like, you better be sure that guy can get it done immediately to save your job. Because if he can't, and you need lead-up time, you will not have that job. The key, and no one's really talking about this, the key for Joe Judge, he has to set up Daniel Jones to fail, then convince Russell Wilson to force his way out of Seattle via trade to the Giants. Because the Giants will have the draft picks. Seattle does not have the draft picks. Because the competition for Russell Wilson via trade is likely to come down to, and the Jets can say whatever they want, if there's a chance they can get Russell Wilson, they're going to try to trade Zach Wilson as part of that trade to get Russell Wilson. If Russ is open to the idea of going to the Jets, which, given the fact that his wife is Ciara, the recording artist, being with any New York team is probably going to be good enough for Russ at this stage in his career. Yes, Russ wants to win, But at the end of the day, the marketing opportunities alone in New York, as seen with Carmelo Anthony, is good enough that if you get the bag, it won't really matter if you win or lose. So, to me, this becomes pretty straightforward in terms of what Joe Judge needs to do if he wants to stick around with the Giants long term. Whether or not he does that, who knows? But it's pretty clear cut, in my opinion, if he's actually going to play the Game of Thrones that usually what it takes to last in the NFL is is being cutthroat enough to set more people up to fail. And believe me, Daniel Jones does not need much to fail on his own. Daniel Jones is my draft assessment on him looks better every single day that he is a career backup QB with a ceiling of Ryan Tannehill. And again, Ryan Tannehill still needs a lot of pieces around him to be viable as a starting QB. If you put Ryan Tannehill on a bad team, he's just going to be bad. So the Giants have so much work to do that it's still going to be really tough sledding for quite some time for the Giants. Joe Judge, if he's smart, he's going to have to set up a way where he kind of gets Daniel Jones out of there. Because if you prolong it where Daniel Jones just kind of meanders, you're still getting fired anyway. And then they're going to clean house anyway. Because the fan base just isn't going to tolerate it. So, you've got your scapegoat in Jason Garrett. Dave Gettleman's going to be forced out into the sunset. But long term, to survive, you're running out of bullets. And the remaining bullet you have to throw under the bus is Daniel Jones. So, whether by hook or by crook, in this next couple of games to close out the year, you kind of have to let Jones fail to then set up the narrative that, I don't have the quarterback either. And we need to reboot everything and let me be in charge of everything to figure out if we can bring in someone, which I think opens up the opportunity for getting John Mara to be on board with a Russell Wilson trade, because that is long term the best way for Joe Judge to cement his power and stick around in the league. Trying to draft another QB, you kind of set yourself up for failure, and you'll more than likely end up in the same spot Matt Nagy is in right now. So with that being said, let's get into these Thanksgiving games with the picks. Matt Nagy likely to be fired after this Thanksgiving game. I have no idea how that even remotely makes sense. Chicago is still favored by 3 on the road against the Lions. Yes, we know the Lions are winless at 0-9 and 1 tie. Here's the issue. Chicago's not much better than the Lions. I can't see how you're taking the Lions, like Chicago, like the pick, most of these picks pools open up at Lions plus 3.5. The line has moved down to 3. I still think this line is too rich. I will easily take the Lions here, because here at the end of the day, could Chicago win this game? Of course. Have you seen the Lions quarterback play? Of course they can win this game. But when have you known anyone where you don't like your boss and it's already rumored that your boss is likely to be fired? Like, since when do employees play like harder for a boss that they don't like when they know he's just about on the way out? Why would they risk potentially extending him out any further if they already did not like him? Because most of the reports from the Bears locker room is the team turned on him last year. It only got worse this year, and it's led to some head-scratching performances across the board, and the offense is still terrible. So why would I be remotely comfortable taking the Bears as a favorite on the road when the Thanksgiving game is the Super Bowl for the Lions? Because the Lions are almost always out of contention by Thanksgiving. This is the opportunity for Lions players to get their name out there and put out their tape for their agents to negotiate a new contract with the Lions or to get traded by the Lions. Or if they're a pending free agent, they really ball out on Thanksgiving just so they get teams to notice them because it's the only game playing. This is a nationally televised game. It's Thanksgiving day. Everyone's home. You've got everyone's eyes on the tube because they're with their families. But yes, they're still going to watch football at 12:30. Like, you've got the some of the biggest set of eyes outside of all three of the games. This is one that a lot of times gets watched. The only reason why people miss it is because they're still traveling to wherever they're celebrating Thanksgiving to watch the game. So, yeah, this is an awful spot, in my opinion, for the Bears. Yeah, could they win it? Yeah, but, like, the Lions are actually, it's, like, this is one of the few games the Lions are actually motivated for. So, to me, it doesn't matter if Jared Goff plays or not. You still have DeAndre Swift in play. Now, it is always troubling the fact that a guy like Josh Reynolds, who got cut by the Rams, then got cut by the Titans because they even had five receivers better than Josh Reynolds. So he got cut by two teams. And within a month, he's already the number one receiver on the Lions. That's always a troubling sign. but at the end of the day, if we're being honest with ourselves, I kind of look at it from the standpoint of, listen, this Chicago team, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's a short week. Why are the Bears going all out for a coach that they didn't like in the first place? Why? Because they heard he's getting fired? Like, people are thinking that this is a win-win for the Gipper kind of situation. Yes. Could the Bears also be motivated to try to ball on Thanksgiving Day? Yeah, I do actually like Darnell Mooney because Mooney actually has the speed on the Bears to break loose and get going. Now, the question I have is no one seems to know if Justin Fields or Andy Dalton starting the game for the Bears. I kind of think that it looks more like Justin Fields is going to play because, again, if you're trying to evaluate Justin Fields, he needs to play as many games as possible. But, you know, there is almost no reason how Justin Fields should be playing games if not for the Bears ownership telling Matt Nagy he has to play Justin Fields. Because Justin Fields is struggling with the fact that he's not picking up Matt Nagy's system. I blame that more on Matt Nagy than Justin Fields. But it seems as though Nagy had previously named Dalton the starter because it looked like it was going to be Dalton. And then last night, it came out that George McCaskey, the operating owner of the Bears, basically told Nagy he has to start Justin Fields tomorrow. You know, again, this is early morning because, like, I'm getting this from news last night. I'm recording this, like, so this is early Wednesday. So we'll know more Thursday, but realistically, I think I think it's getting pretty obvious that Nagy is not running the Bears. They just didn't want the optics of firing him before Thanksgiving, even though it's kind of ludicrous because it's not like he's not going to get paid. His contract's guaranteed, unlike players, so who cares if you fire him before or after? If anything, having him have time to spend time with his family on Thanksgiving would be the more humane way of going about it. But, you know, whatever. I don't really want to dive into this. I'm just looking at this from, if this comes down to Justin Fields starting, the only players I would have interest in on the Bears offensively would be Darnell Mooney, because Fields did have chemistry with Mooney, and also David Montgomery, because the Bears are going to be running the ball as much as possible to keep it as straightforward as possible. The Lions have given up the second most rushing yards per game in the NFL this year. The only other team that goes up there would be, I believe it's still Raiders number one, who we have later on today. It's either the Raiders or the Dolphins, but like I said, the Lions are like top three, and the Raiders are also top three. Between the Raiders and the Dolphins, like, those are like the three worst rushing defenses in the league. So, to me, it's just the fact that David Montgomery has the lion's share of the carries from the Bears. He doesn't really have that much of a way of a timeshare with Khalil Herbert. So I think you're going to get a bunch of carries for David Montgomery. And I still like DeAndre Swift, because we don't know for sure if Ansa is playing for the Bears. So, you know, you kind of have to look at the Bears injury report. We're not going to know that now, but the Bears have had so many, the Bears have had so many injuries on the interior front, and, you know, Khalil Mack, he's been in and out. Like, the problem is that, honestly, you just have a very shallow Bears defense. So to me, even with if the Bears get up, you still got dump offs to DeAndre Swift. I just think Swift is a great play for DFS wise, pricing wise. You know, it doesn't really matter salary wise on a 3-game slate anyway. I really believe that. Like, you can get different in other ways and try more pump plays. So you're just trying to get the home run hitters. And the fact that we still don't know Alvin Kamara's status of, because both he and Mark Ingram have been injured. So we actually have to keep our eyes peeled as well. And I'll get to, the play that no one, you have to have at least one lineup in place for him in case this works out. And I'll get to that. But like I said, if for core build, I like Montgomery and DeAndre Swift. I don't have any issues playing those guys. But outside of that, for the Bears offense, I'm just playing Mooney. That's about it. Now, on the Lions side, it's Swift. And I know people are going to go to TJ Hockenson against the Bears defense. It's nothing wrong with Hockenson. I just don't think his ceiling is that much better than a Dawson Knox playing at night against New Orleans. And pricing-wise, Knox is cheaper. So will I have some bills with Hockenson? Yeah, I'll probably put a bill together and have a, you know, depending on who we get for named as a starter, it's like I'll probably put in one lineup where we got Jared Goff or Tim Boyle, as bad as Tim Boyle is, just to get different, because it's a 3-game slate. It's not a main slate. It's a 3-game slate. You know, someone can fall down in coverage and it changes the slate entirely. Like, weird things happen that you have to account for in a 3-game slate because it's so highly concentrated. So you have to kind of keep your mind open to certain fluke possibilities that happen in games when it's this condensed. But yeah, I like Dawson Knox more than TJ Hockenson. So on the Lions side, it's really just DeAndre Swift. And because, like I said, all these wide receivers are terrible on the Detroit side, I'm going to be very limited on Detroit in terms of ownership. I just think that this game with the lowest total, it's more than likely that it's just running backs only by and large and build. And that's not the worst idea in the world. So I'll leave it at that. Next up, we got the Raiders traveling to Dallas to play the Cowboys in the afternoon game. You know, this is a 7.5-point spread for the Cowboys. Honestly, it could have been 10, and I'd still take the Cowboys here. The Raiders are bad run defense. Bad. Like, this is one of the few spots where I could say I don't have an issue playing Ezekiel Elliott, even though he's the second best running back on that team. What I am going to say, though, is I will have a bunch of Tony Pollard lineups this week because his ownership is going to be way lower than Zeke. Everyone's going to be expecting Zeke getting the big runs, but the Raiders D-line is so weak against the run that the more likely scenario is Tony Pollard breaks off a big run and accelerates to the point where he gets the run to the house and Zeke doesn't get the vulture, because what we know about Zeke is he doesn't have the breakaway speed anymore. So all of his runs usually contain themselves to within 15 to 20 yards. Like, that's his cap because he can't get away from anyone anymore. So to me, Zeke's touchdown scenarios come from the fact that he has to get in the goal line scenarios to get there for touchdowns. I think Pollard can break one to the house at any point against this Raiders team. So I would pivot. It's like, I'm not going to say, no, you can't play Ezekiel Elliott because pricing wise, you know, he's not that expensive. In my opinion, he's only $8K. At eight on DraftKings, he's 8.4 of FanDuel. You know, you can get to Zeke and make it work. I just think that a better way of going about it is playing Tony Pollard at Zeke will probably have five times the ownership of Tony Pollard. I don't have any projections or leans on how the projections are going to go, but it wouldn't shock me if Zeke is closer to 40 to 50% owned. And Tony Pollard comes in under 10. It wouldn't shock me. And to me, I think Tony Pollard's ceiling is not that much different. Yeah, could Zeke catch a bunch of passes and run for three touchdowns? Yeah, it's absolutely possible. But I think Tony Pollard can get two touchdowns in this game. And Tony Pollard gets two touchdowns in this game, you're going to need Tony Pollard in the winning lineup. Just because of some of the other folks you can shove in, unless this the Lions-Bears game goes off completely, and I'll talk about this as well, I think you're going to need Tony Pollard if he gets multiple touchdowns in the winter. On the Cowboys side, we still don't know if CeeDee Lamb is going to be healthy. Because he was in concussion protocol. They are already down Amari Cooper because of the vaccination status and lying to the NFL about his status. So he's out for this game as well. So if we don't have CeeDee Lamb, it comes down to Michael Gallup as the one, Cedric Wilson as the two. Yes, it was a bad outing against the Chiefs. No question. But with the play action going and the run game going as it should against the Raiders, because the Raiders can't stop the run, there should be opportunities at home on in the dome on turf that Wilson and Gallup both can have monster games, especially if Lamb misses. If Lamb misses, it makes it a crappier slate because you're forced to lock in Gallup or Wilson. Like, you can fade one. Maybe you can't fade both. This is going to be incredibly hard to avoid playing both guys. I don't see how because the Cowboys have an implied total of 29 points, and it's the largest expectation of points in a game. I think they probably break over 30, to be honest. I can't see the Raiders putting up that much of a fight on Thanksgiving. I really don't. I think they get smashed And this is why I think Pollard is such a dangerous play that you should be rostering, because to me, this screams Tony Pollard having a monster game. It just seems in line for him to just smash in this spot. So I would go towards Tony Pollard in this spot in terms of the roster construction. And then depending on what we get from news, I think at least Gallup or Wilson has to be in the mix for your builds. If Lamb's out, if Lamb's in, then certainly you can play Lamb at 7K on DraftKings. FanDuel pricing, it's actually 7,700. It's manageable. Like, all the pricing this week, what's annoying about the Thanksgiving game pricing is that it's soft. So they make it easier on both of the sites to build if you're a casual player. So for someone like me, it's annoying because, you know, I could gimmick and try to come up with different ways of slanting it, but they kind of made this pricing very much is plug and play on this slate. But I think if Lamb sits, it makes it an even chalkier slate. I'm not playing Hunter Renfro. No. The issue with playing Hunter Renfro is you need him to get a touchdown, because he's not going to get you 150 yards receiving. Like, it's just like he's just not that guy to break 100 yards receiving. It's just even in the event of a blowout, because the Cowboys are going to grind down the clock quickly. So I don't see enough reps for Hunter Renfro to get there unless he scores a touchdown. To me, he has to score a touchdown in order to pay off true value. I would rather play Gallup and Wilson together than play Hunter Renfro, because I know in the night slate, there's going to be opportunities for Buffalo's receivers to score, and I would like that play more than trying to bank on a Hunter Renfro blowout script run where he's catching a bunch of passes underneath from Derek Carr and kind of go from there. But I'm thinking of Giants players as I'm saying David Carr. But it really, it's like, I don't like the Raiders pieces in this matchup. To me, Darren Waller, again, I like Dawson Knox in the primetime slate. So it doesn't, yeah, you could play Darren Waller. It's like, I will have, like, I'm not outright fading plays outside of the Renfro I already talked about. It's just, you know, I don't see the value. I don't see the value. But it just isn't there. So I'm moving on. Next up, because I already told you, like, this is a pretty straightforward slate in my opinion. Buffalo at New Orleans. The big news here in New Orleans, no one knows if Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram are actually going to be able to play. They didn't practice yesterday. They're both on the injury report with different injuries. And, you know, short week, they're banged up. This could be the Taysom Hill game, because they haven't used Taysom. Sean Payton still refuses to use Taysom. No one understands what's going on. Taysom gets yet another extension that I laughed about. Yet another extension. Why on earth is he not playing? So if Kamara and Ingram miss, I am going to play a Taysom Hill lineup, because I have to think Sean Payton is working on something with Taysom Hill that none of us knows, and he's not naming him the starter to catch us off guard. But, it boggles the mind that you could possibly miss both Ingram and Kamara if they both sit tomorrow night. And obviously we won't know, but it boggles the mind that Taysom would not be prominently featured, because the only other running back would be Tony Jones at min price on DraftKings at 4K, 4,800 on FanDuel. You would have to play Tony Jones, at least in one or two lineups, just on the possibility, because he's going to get all the work, and you can load up all the receivers, all the stud receivers, so you can load up as CeeDee Lamb plays. If you could load up on all the star players, go cheap with Taysom, play Tony Jones. I'm telling you, like, I will have one of these lineups, and if they don't play, obviously the lineup's dead. If Kamara and Ingram play, the lineup's probably dead. But it's like, you know, sometimes you have to take these chances with just playing Taysom and Tony Jones together, cheap, and loading up on plays, and just go for it. To get different on a three-game slate. But I like playing Stephon Diggs. I like playing Josh Allen, like, in terms of standard builds. Like, I have no issues with playing Josh Allen and Diggs. After that's yet another stink bomb. And I talked about the regression in Josh Allen. And so now people are starting to chirp. It's a primetime game. This is actually one of those games where it's like, okay, they fell flat on their face yet again. They are in the dome. It's going to be loud in the Superdome. They actually need to show up and ball out, because New England is at the top of the division. They don't have any wiggle room to start effing around any further. Like, they actually have to get going now. So now it's like, it's getting real in terms of playoff pursuit for Buffalo. I think they show up and ball out today. I mean, ball out tomorrow. So I will be playing Buffalo as well in stacks with Diggs and Allen, and have some Emmanuel Sanders as well, and a trick on. So, like, I think that game could shoot out more, especially if Dallas just it goes under and Dallas just grinds it out with Tony Pollard. Like, I think it very well possible Dallas isn't the highest scoring team tomorrow, and it ends up being Buffalo and New Orleans. I think that game could shoot out. But we won't know the news until late night, so you have to prep yourself with your builds. So I would still say you can have a Taysom Tony Jones build with all the studs. And yes, if it busts, it busts. Or you could load up with Josh Allen and play some of the cheaper guys I had already mentioned with most of the studs in the Buffalo-New Orleans game. So Tre'Quan Smith is 5,900. He could put up a big spot. I actually like Tre'Quan. Again, way better upside, in my opinion, than what you would get with a Hunter Renfrow. And they're in the same price range. So, again, you have to try to get creative when it comes to these types of games. He's 5,400 on FanDuel. It's 4,400 on DraftKings. Even better pricing on DraftKings. But I think you have to think about it in terms of how it... Now, when I'm talking about Tre'Quan and Callaway, I'm talking about it in games where it doesn't feature Taysom, because Taysom's not a passer. So if Taysom's playing, you run him either naked or run him with Tony Jones, because Tony Jones is so cheap, and you run it back with all the stud receivers that you can think of in terms of Diggs, Sanders. You load up, maybe CeeDee Lamb plays. You load up with a Darren Waller or Hockenson. Like, that's how you can build out that roster. But in my opinion, I think you have to at least consider the possibility of Taysom Hill having a prominent role tomorrow night, because the fact that Kamara and Ingram weren't practicing this close to the game, that's the worrisome sign that they're probably going to rest them tomorrow, given the short week, and not risk the rest of their season, because they need those guys down the stretch. So in terms of the line, this one's going to be the hardest one to call, because the Bills are favored by 4.5. We won't know the news until later on tonight. I would lean more towards Buffalo winning that game and covering, just knowing what I know now, and I'm expecting them to sit, to be honest. So this line could shift up to six or more, depending on, you know, how the line, how we get further news. But I think it's very real that we lose both Kamara and Ingram ahead of that game, and it becomes a Taysom game. So that's the way I'm building. Good luck to you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving with your families, wherever you're celebrating. Thanks again for listening. Enjoy the turkey and everything else. I'll have some stuff cooking for Black Friday and just my thoughts in general about things to look out for, because pricing's going to be different than this year. So just be prepared, folks. Don't go crazy in the stores. If that floats your boat, God bless, but that's definitely not the track I would go, especially this year. But that's all for now, everyone. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.